I'm speaking with Dan Glickman, former Secretary of Agriculture, as well as one of the co-chairs of AGREE, which is an organization involved in transforming food and ag policy. And AGREE sent a letter today about regarding the immigration reform legislation that is pending currently, passed by the Senate. Passed through the Senate Judicial Committee and expected to come up on the floor of the Senate within the next week or so. So first of all, Mr. Glickman, if you could first explain what this letter says and why you're involved in talking about this immigration bill that's up.
Well, you know, there are two things I would mention here. One is that of the approximately 2 million agriculture workers in the United States, it's estimated that about half or 1 million are undocumented workers, undocumented immigrants. And so you have a system where roughly half the people working in agriculture, most of these are people involving in labor-intensive agriculture. So it would be fresh fruit and vegetables and related type of crops are not here legally. And so what this does is create enormous instability in the workplace. And it also does not necessarily always result in the best working conditions for those people who are working here who are not here legally. So a stable legal workforce is really critical to the capabilities of America's farmers and ranchers to produce the amount and volume and nutritious nature of food that that we produce in this country. So and the fact is many farms and ranches have come to depend on hired foreign-born farm workers to meet their needs for both seasonal as well as permanent labor. So it's a necessary need there to find a system which regularizes their employment and gives them some legitimization so that the employers will know that they'll have a stable workforce.
Now, you sent the letters. The letter that you sent today was to senators who are going to be considering this particular the bill that was passed out of the Judiciary Committee. So tell me what you think about this bill. Do you think this is a good thing, that what is contained in this massive piece of legislation? Do you think this is good for agriculture?
Well, this is a very big bill that covers a lot of things. It covers border security. It covers the different visa processes for agriculture workers, for high-tech workers. It covers the foreign students. You know, so it's a gigantic bill. But when you consider the number of undocumented people, illegal folks in this country who are not here under color of law, we just can't leave them here forever. We're not going to deport them either. So we need to come up with some system to regularize them. And so the whole bill is on balance is very good. You know, not everything everybody's going to support in it, but it's generally in the right direction. And for agriculture particularly, it's important because of the significance of these workers to production agriculture. It's probably greater, the impact is probably greater in agriculture than it is in just about any other sector of the economy.
Now, the bill does something that has been asked for many years, which is reform the H-2A program. And what's unique about this also is that it was formed out of an agreement that came about through agricultural organizations and farm labor representatives. It's a little, I'm not going to say it's complex, but there is a couple of parts to that. And I guess really the question is, do you think it's going to survive on the Senate floor? And then what's going to happen in the House? Because it looks like the House is, you know, looking at maybe they're going to do something different.
Well, the agriculture sections should survive the Senate. They were adopted by a bipartisan group of senators with the support of agriculture labor and agriculture employers. So, you know, in this era of partisanship and lack of civility, it's really a great thing to see that people can come together and work together for the common good. I happen to believe that the provision will also, this provision will survive the House bill. The larger House bill, there are other questions of border security. There are a lot of conservative folks who don't like the path to legalization generally. But I don't think you can get a bill through Congress that doesn't have all these different parts to it. And so what the purpose of our letter was to show that While we generally support the bill, we particularly think that the agriculture provisions that have been worked out with labor and with the growers and with a bipartisan group of senators is the best way to go and will give stability to agriculture.
And it does seem like there is not a whole lot of disagreement with the agricultural provisions in that bill. Would you agree?
I would agree that when you have the employers, the farm workers, the farm labor advocates, then you have a lot of municipalities, local governments who are supportive of this, and then you have the food industry, which needs a predictable source of food, particularly fresh vegetables and fresh fruits, and dairy, too, is part of this mix, then I think that these provisions are less controversial, certainly, than some of the others.
Well, before they get to immigration reform, the Senate is actually, as we speak, just about to take the farm bill back up again. Wanted to get your thoughts on that as a former Secretary of Agriculture and a co-chairman of this organization. What do you think about what's being considered in the Senate and what passed out of the Agriculture Committee in the House?
I think that, a good bipartisan compromise was worked out. It's not the best possible bill, but it's the best bill possible. And my judgment is the Senate will pass a bill. It reduces spending to some degree. It gets rid of direct payments. It's got a much stronger risk management crop insurance section for most of the commodities. And it maintains a nutritional safety net for needy Americans. So I think it will pass out of the Senate overwhelmingly. I'm just not so positive about the House. I hope it passes out of there as well. We do not want another extension of the current farm bill.
And that's for sure. And you mentioned the nutrition programs, and that's one of the big differences between the Senate and the House. The Senate not asking for as big a cuts in the nutrition program. How do you think that might shake out? Do you think there's a compromise between, what, $8 billion and $20 billion or something like that?
Actually, I think it's between $4 billion and $20 billion, ultimately.
Yeah, that's a big difference.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of depends on where the cuts are and what kind of income they have, impact they have on, particularly families with children. My judgment is if they work hard at this, they can get a compromise bill to it. Now, one of the issues we have is this bill's not yet at the House floor. So the $20 billion in the House could become greater on the House floor. We don't know yet. I hope it doesn't, but it could. But I still believe when push comes to shove, if a bill gets out of the House, then there will be a compromise and there will be a farm bill this year signed into law.
There's always a lot of talk about, when we talk about the farm bill, it's really not a bill that's really for farmers. It's 80% of it goes to those nutrition programs. Can you talk about that and the fact that sometimes that gets lost in the conversation when we're talking about a, quote, farm bill?
Well, it's really a food and farm bill. It's a bill that has conservation provisions in it. It's a bill that has nutrition programs in it. It's a bill that has risk management and crop insurance in it. It's a bill that obviously have basic farm programs in it. It's a bill that has research in it, which is probably the most important part of the bill over the long term, is to keep an ample American agriculture research infrastructure alive so we can continue to get ourselves to improve our productivity. So it's a food bill more than a farm bill, and frankly, I wish they'd call it a food bill.
There's a lot of people who'd like to see that, but unfortunately it keeps getting called that. I know Secretary Vilsack is adamantly will not call it that. He hates calling it a farm bill.
It kind of is what it is. It's the politics on this bill have largely been with the production agriculture and commodity programs over the years, even though the bulk of the money is spent in other things. But you know, in the last analysis, I don't care what it's called if they get something good passed.
Well, do you think that agriculture is taking a disproportionate hit, especially considering how relatively good it is in farm country these days?
You mean in terms of getting cuts?
Yes.
No, I don't. We have had the strongest agriculture the last 4 or 5 years and decades. We had the strongest farm prices, the strongest farm exports, the lowest debt to asset ratio. Land values have never been higher. You know, all these things are really great news. And historically, our farm programs have been countercyclical. So when farmers are doing well, the taxpayers don't have to come up with as much in resources. And that's kind of been the nature of the beast all these years. I think that's the right way to go. And I'm not saying all farmers are doing well. I know that there are certain parts of agriculture, dairy, there have been problems when there have been natural disasters, droughts and flooding and that kind of thing. But overall, agriculture has done very well the last 4 or 5 years. And because of that, the programs are shifting more to a risk management system rather than just a payment system to help farmers when times are really bad. And I think that's the way to go myself.
One last thing. I wanted to get your thoughts on the renewable fuel standard and ethanol, because it continues to take a lot of hits, especially when you look at corn and when you have, you know, planting situations, a drought like we had last year. Do you think that ethanol and even biodiesel will continue to be a viable alternative fuel choice for America to help us to kind of diminish our reliance on foreign oil?
Well, I think we're finding that our reliance on foreign oil is largely being rectified with the massive amounts of natural gas that we have. So we're in better shape now, energy-wise. Not perfect, but better shape. Here's the way I feel about it. I think that ethanol is one alternative, and we should not abandon it. But in the future, it ought to be less food-based and more based on non-food crops or the parts of crops that don't necessarily feed people. It's been a great support, particularly for the corn industry. But as we go down the next several years, I think we ought to be trying to produce more ethanol from non-food crops. I think that's in the best interest of everyone.
All right, very good. That's all the questions I have. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
No, you've gotten them all.
All right, very good. Well, it's a pleasure talking to you again, and I hope you have a great day.
Thanks a lot.
All right,
bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.